This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
A series of discussions on some of the modern ideologies that our youth are in danger of following, and building a framework that will help Muslims, young and old, to avoid falling into these ideologies. We live in a time where everyone has access to information from a variety of different circles. And sometimes, especially for a young person, it's very difficult to distinguish between what is good and what is evil. And it's very easy to get caught up in the ideas that are the norms of the time, or the trends of the time, or the ideas that are popular amongst the masses. To deal with this, we as Muslims need to be very clear about our fundamentals. We have to be very clear about the foundations of our religion. And we have to understand what are things that we cannot compromise on. What are the fundamentals of our faith? You see, very often I am very critical of one extreme in our community, right? And that is the extreme of making fatwas that are unnecessarily harsh. I've spoken about this many times, right? That these fatwas that are too harsh and very extreme and making things haram without evidence, I've been very critical about that. But we also have to take time to discuss the opposite end of the spectrum, which is when Muslims get too liberal, when Muslims get too free, when Muslims start making the haram halal because it's what the nafs wants. We have these two extremes, and the Muslim community is stuck in a cycle of both extremes pushing each other further and further away from the middle path. What do I mean? So when the British had taken over India about 200, 300 years ago, the Muslim ulama of India at that time were worried that the youth were going to be corrupted by the British. So we need to hold on to our religion. So they became very, very hardcore in the interpretation of the religion. And they came up with a lot of fatwas that were harsher than the rest of the Muslim world. And you notice this, that in many issues of fiqh, you'll have a very moderate and balanced view coming out of Egypt or Turkey or Arabia. And on the same issue, you get a really harsh fatwa coming out of India. It's because those lands weren't British colonies. So they didn't have this reaction. So as a reaction to the British, the fiqh got a bit more intense. It got a bit more harsh. But now, as a reaction to the fiqh being a bit harsh, people bounced to the other side, and they became a bit too liberal. And so what happens is some people, they look at this and they say, oh, see, if we don't make the fiqh harsh, you know, people are going to go all the way to that end. So they make it even more harsh. And then the other side gets even more liberal. And we see this with each generation, that we are seeing more and more strange fatawa that are harsh, but we're also seeing more and more strange opinions that are so liberal and bizarre that they have absolutely nothing to do with our religion. And both sides are pushing each other farther and farther away from the middle path. And we've been very critical of one side. I have been very critical about the fact that we need contemporary ijtihad based on the urfs and the needs and the necessities of our time according to the principles of our madhab. I've been very clear about that. But we have to tackle the other side as well. That many people, when they get disillusioned by these fatwas that they find too harsh, they jump to the other side. They latch on to these new ideas. These ideas coming out of the West. And then there's many of these ideologies that are originating in the USA and the UK that are being imported to our lands and into the hearts and minds of our youth through the internet. Right? Let's face it, the average Muslim child spends all their time on the internet. They are watching movies on Netflix which are pushing these ideas on them. They are watching videos on TikTok which are pushing these ideas on them. You know, they are scrolling to Instagram where they are being bombarded with these ideas. And if we are not talking about it, if we are not addressing it, these ideas become part of who they are. And then suddenly you hear a young Muslim saying something completely bizarre and completely unheard of in Islam, and you wonder, where did they get it from? It's because these ideas are being put into their minds without any filters. So what we want to do now is create some filters. That these are the filters of our religion. These are the things that keep us grounded. And to understand what's going on in the world, you also have to understand the history of those lands. This is why I want this to be multiple parts over a few weeks, right? So just to put things in perspective, every ideology in the world and every reaction in the world, there's always a history behind it, right? So for example, I said that, you know, sometimes you wonder why are Indian ulama's fatwa more harsher than other parts of the world. But when you study the history of British colonialism, you can understand it. It makes sense. They were dealing with British colonialism, so they had to be a bit more stricter, right? And it's the same with what's going on in the West. So what's going on in the West? Understand that the European world, if we go back 1,000 years, if you go back 1,000 years, Muslims were the dominant civilization on earth. Muslims were the leaders of every field, science, technology, everything. Europe was in the Dark Ages. Europe was backwards. Europe was, you know, considered barbarians by the Muslims. What changed? And what held them back? What the Europeans discovered was that Christianity was holding them back. And so they began to not just reject Christianity. Look at the extremes they jumped to. They didn't reject Christianity. What did they reject? Religion. They rejected religion. And they developed a secular framework for dealing with this world. And all these new ideologies of liberalism and capitalism and feminism all come from this secular framework where religion has nothing to say with life. And they became antagonistic towards religion itself. And from there came this modern world. Now, the way they look at it is, when we abandoned our religion, our societies flourished. Right? This is their history. Our history is different. And this is something that a lot of Muslims don't understand. A lot of Muslims today, they see Muslim lands are weak. They see the European and American lands are doing strong. And they say, oh, they abandoned their religion and they are flourishing. Maybe if we do the same, we also will flourish. Right? But we forget that our history is very different. Our history is very different. When Muslims were firm on their religion, Islam was the dominant superpower of this world. And that's a fact. For over 1,000 years, Muslims were the civilization of this world. When we abandoned our religion, we fell into the mess we are in now. So going further away from it is not going to fix it. So understand, these are two separate histories. You can't confuse the two. Right? So for example, feminism developed in the European world for very logical reasons. Until 50 years ago, you know, even 100 years ago, some of these things even 50 years ago, women in the Western world couldn't vote, they couldn't own property, they couldn't work. You know, Christians believed they didn't even have souls. Right? So I mean, coming from that culture, you understand why they developed this philosophy of feminism. The Muslim world never had these problems. From the beginning of the Muslim world, we had female doctors, female nurses, female teachers, female ulama. We had women owning their own properties, receiving their own inheritance. You know, we had them having their own say in way things were run. Yes, we have a structure. We have a thing where, you know, the husband does have a certain rank in our community. We do have these things, but it wasn't to the detriment of women. It was for the protection of women. Right? This is where people mix things up. And what happens now? With all of Muslims who only are aware of Western history and not Muslim history, they think that, okay, they got this idea, we need to latch on to this idea as well. And they latch on to it with everything that comes with it, which includes rejecting a lot of our religion. Right? So let's face it, if you adapt their ideology entirely, you're going to end up rejecting hijab. You're going to end up rejecting that women should stand behind men in salah. You're going to end up rejecting, you know, the status of the husband in the family. You're going to end up rejecting things that are fundamental parts of our religion because you are looking at it from outside the religion. So understand that every ideology has its own history. And when you understand the history, you can see where it differs from Islam and why we should not adopt it. Now, as Muslims, we come from a very different background than the people who came up with these ideologies. And we have very clear foundations that they lack. We have very clear foundations that they lack. And I want us to just look at some of the fundamentals here. One of the goals of modern ideologies, specifically liberalism, is the pursuit of pleasure and the avoidance of pain. Right? This is like a fundamental principle of their ideology. The pursuit of pleasure and the avoidance of pain. Why do they go around fornicating like donkeys? For the pursuit of pleasure. Right? Why do they want to avoid getting married and having children? To avoid responsibilities. It's all about the pursuit of pleasure and the avoidance of pain. As a Muslim, you cannot adopt this ideology. Why? Because our life is all about the pleasure of Allah. And sometimes pleasing Allah means sacrificing pleasures of this world. Sometimes pleasing Allah means going through pain for the sake of Allah. Our religion has a concept of jihad, that is sacrifice and literally getting hurt for the sake of Allah. We have a concept of martyrdom, where you literally sacrifice your life for the sake of Allah. If you adopt a liberal mindset, these ideas make no sense to you anymore. Right? Because it's all about me. And this is another area where we have a fundamental philosophical difference, is that modern ideologies are all about me. It's all about the nafs, it's all about myself. And you see this in all these modern ideologies. Everyone's only cares about themselves. People even get married for selfish reasons. They get married worrying only about themselves and not about the other person. In Islam, it's all about Allah. It's all about Allah. You cannot be all about yourself and all about Allah at the same time. There's going to be clashes, there's going to be contradictions. That's why our religion has a whole science of purification of the soul, taming yourself. Because you have to tame yourself to please Allah. You can't have it both ways. So from the very basics, our religion is different from these modern ideas. And that's why you cannot adopt them as a framework for interpreting the religion. Now, some people are brainwashed into thinking that, you know, these ideas are causing the success in the world. I'll ask you, what success is it causing? What success are these ideas causing? Because what we have seen in the past 50 years, and especially in the past 20 years, a rise in depression, rise in mental health issues, rise in suicide rates, right? Rise in divorce, rise in children being born out of marriage, a decrease in marriage, a decrease in marital happiness, rise in loneliness. Loneliness, people are surrounded by other people and they are lonely. These are all the results of adapting these ideologies. Is that what we want? When Allah has given us a better way, is that really what we want? To latch on to all of these problems that come with the ideology. There's a very simple statement about philosophy to keep in mind whenever it comes to these competing ideologies that non-Muslims invent. When you replace a man-made philosophy with another man-made philosophy, you are simply replacing one set of problems with a new set of problems. When you are replacing a man-made philosophy with another man-made philosophy, you are replacing one set of problems with a new set of problems. Look at the example of communism versus capitalism. Both are man-made systems, both have their own set of problems. The only thing that solves the problems of this world is submitting to the Creator. The only place you're going to find your solutions is in the revelation that Allah has given to us. So, over the next few weeks, I'm going to tackle some of these ideologies directly. I'm going to tackle them very clearly. I'm going to explain why they are wrong. I'm going to explain how we deal with them. And I'm going to, you know, give some fundamental principles to, inshallah, help our youth to navigate these ideas that are being promoted to them through the media and through the internet. And we ask Allah for guidance and steadfastness and to keep us on the moderate and balanced path. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun alal mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعين ونستغفره ونؤمن به توكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. الله سبحانه وتعالى has blessed us with a perfect Sharia, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, amongst the final revelations sent to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Surah Al-Ma'idah is Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Dinukum. Today I have perfected your religion for you. One of the Jewish rabbis of Medina told Umar radiallahu anhu that if this verse had been revealed in the Torah, it would have been like our favorite verse. We would have celebrated it. And he eventually converted to Islam. Right, because of this verse. Allah said, amongst the final revelations that He sent, was that I have perfected your way of life. Islam is the perfect way of life. Yes, sometimes people misinterpret it. Sometimes people go to extremes in the interpretation of it. but the religion itself is perfect. And one of the things that we have to be very clear about when dealing with the problems of our time is that our solutions must come from within the tradition, not outside of the tradition. Our solutions must come from a framework of Islamic thinking, not bringing in outside ideologies to change the religion. And this starts really at the very basis of even why you are criticizing an opinion. Right, let me give you an example. Yesterday, someone states the opinion that women are not allowed in the masjid. Right? And you are angry at them for having that opinion. Now, ask yourself the question, am I angry with them for that opinion because it goes against the principles of feminism? Or am I angry with them about that opinion because it goes against the hadith to not stop women from going to the masjid? You see, these are two very, very different mindsets. The person who is angry with them for contradicting the hadith is going to follow the hadith and stick to the hadith. The person who is angry with them for contradicting the principles of feminism, they're going to go all the way to saying women should be imams. Right? Why? Because they have two completely different ways of looking. They're angry at the same issue, but their philosophy behind it is very different. One person's philosophy is Quran and Sunnah, the other person's philosophy is a man-made ideal. So be very careful at the very basis, from what perspective are we criticizing an opinion? Is it coming from the perspective of the Quran and Sunnah, or is it something that is coming from a man-made idea? And as Muslims, we have to believe our religion is perfect. Our solutions come from within the religion. And this is why we need to have ulama who provide for us solutions from within our religion. How do they do that? They do that by tapping in to the mechanisms built into our religion. Our religion has things like a very flexible law system, that if you use the principles of your madhab and you understand the goals of the sharia and the maxims of your madhab, a scholar can find practical solutions to the problems of his community. But it has to come from within that framework. That solution has to come from the framework of the principles of a madhab. It can't come from the framework of, oh, you know, the non-Muslims are doing it this way, so we want to do it the same. Is there a way to make it halal, you know, to halalify it? It can't come from that framework. We can't come from the framework of, we want to do what they are doing, so let's find a fatwa that suits us. No, it has to come from the framework of, how can we solve our problem in a way that is pleasing to Allah? That should be your framework. How can we solve the problem in a way that is pleasing to Allah? So yes, definitely there are aspects of fiqh in our community that need to be reinterpreted or needs to be reanalyzed. But they need to be reanalyzed in light of Quran and Sunnah and the usul al-fiqh. They do not need to be reanalyzed in terms of outside influences. So when you are critical of a fatwa, ask yourself, why am I critical? Am I critical because it goes against the Quran and Sunnah? Or am I critical because it goes against my nafs or some idea that the non-Muslims are pushing onto me? Because if it's the second reason, it's not the law that needs rectification, it's your soul that needs rectification. And this is why what we really need to emphasize for our young people is the importance of having your principles grounded in the Quran and Sunnah. That the very principles by which you live your life, interpret your religion, and deal with the world around you are the framework of the Quran and Sunnah and not some other ideology. And this is why a Muslim should not have some other label attached to them from outside of Islam. There's no such thing as walking around and saying like, I'm a liberal Muslim, or I'm a Muslim feminist, or I'm a Muslim communist. No, you are a Muslim. You do not attach a non-Muslim philosophy to Islam. That becomes a contradiction. And you will find yourself having to contradict yourself at some point if you want to be both at the same time. So we must be very, very clear on this point. And this is the main point of today's khutbah, is to understand that our Sharia is perfect. And within that perfection, there is a built-in mechanism for change, but that change has to come from within the Quran and Sunnah and the usul al-fiqh. It cannot come from outside. And so we have to raise amongst us ulama who are able to interpret the fiqh for the times based on the principles of the madhab. But we cannot. We cannot be changing our religion just because we want to blend into somebody else. That should never, ever be the reason why you want a fatwa to change. Right? You shouldn't want your fatwa to change because you want to blend with everybody else. You should want the fatwa to change if you feel it is contradicting the Quran and Sunnah. That makes more sense. So we ask Allah for steadfastness. We ask Allah to make us from those who follow His religion, who are content with His religion, and who are balanced in the understanding of this religion. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ وَاجْعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا سُبْحَانَ رَبِّكَ رَبِّ الْعِزَّةِ عَمَّا يَصِفُونَ وَسَلَامٌ عَلَى الْمُرْسَلِينَ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ